Ladies and gentlemen, once again, it's time to wind up our show.
Nah, stop messing about.
Careful, I can't hold it. Oh, I've got it. Now, both together. Heave!
And what on earth is that thing?
Well, what does it look like? It's a stuffed bear, of course.
It's what this show's always needed, to have a stuffed bear in the cast. Oh. I went down on my bended lallies before the series started to plead for one.
He did.
And what was the result?
Joan Sims.
Yeah.
And a tin tack in my kneecap.
Well, if you're going to turn this show into a bear garden, I'm going to ring my agent. Exits hurriedly, trying not to lose face.
Why bother? Jealous, you see. I bet he's off to hide his sofa skin.
Well, he could do with a new one.
Here, I hope Joan likes our bear.
Well, she'll be besotted. She always fancies anything furry, Joan does. She loves fur.
Yes, well, I'm wearing quite a lot myself. And I've got its claw marks all down my back.
Ooh.
Yes.
Ooh. Ear, what are you going to say to your osteopath?
Oh, same as usual. I just come here to get unknotted.
Hello, boys. I'm sorry I'm late. Goodness, who's your friend?
Don't be like that. We only brought in to make you feel more at home.
We knew how you felt about being the only girl on the show, but now there's the two of you.
You mean that thing's a girl?
You don't think it'd be standing there like that if it was a boy, do you?
Well, I don't like it.
Well, if you're going to take that line...
I'm taking every line I can get. You have to win this show. It's every man for himself.
Hugh,
didn't I say it was a fella? You see, you can always tell by the lobes of the ears. Always tell by the lobes.
Never mind my lobes. I'm not playing second fiddle to a stuffed bear. I shall take it up with equity. Get it out of here.
Get it out? We're certainly not taking it out now, are we?
No, and after the trouble we had getting it in.
Yes, we had to tell the commissioner it was Max Harris's auntie in a fur coat.
Oh, dear. It's still here, is it? Oh, well, I suppose I shall just have to grin and bear it. Nevertheless, it's Crackerjack and Audie with Mother Time. When the music stops, Maud Nethersole will be here with another of her tales out of school.
Hello, Tinies. Now today, I've got a friend with me. I wonder who he is. Well, if we all keep very quiet and listen, we'll be able to hear what my friend is doing. Do you know who my friend is? Of course you do. He's a little bee, isn't he? Yes, he is. Mind you, not all bees are little. Some are very big and are called bumblebees and have black and orange stripes all over their rear ends. But today's story is about a very small bee called Roger. One day his mother said, "Oh, Roger, you are a little bee, but I think it's time you left the hive and started making some honey." And Roger said,
"Fuzzy buzzy down well, and you see the buzzy out, buzzy buzzy."
And his mother said, "Nonsense. You'll find all the basic ingredients in the flowers. Now buzz off. I'm busy." So, Roger flew off into the garden and landed on a dahlia called Ethel. And he had a jolly good look into Ethel's petals to see if she had any honey. But she hadn't, because some other bee had been there first. And poor Roger burst into tears. Just then, Mr. Centipede walked past, which took about half an hour. And he said,
"Hello, what's the matter, you poor little chap?"
And Roger said,
"Myself, myself, fizzy, fizzy."
I see. said Mr. Centipede. Well, if that's what you're after, I know a lonely wallflower who's absolutely loaded. She'll love to me to be of your size. Just mention my name. And do you know, Roger and the wallflower had the most rewarding relationship. All summer long, he was popping in and out of her pistils and stamens. And come the autumn, Mr. Centipede took one look at the wallflower's seed pods, and he said, "Aha, we all know the reason for that. It's Roger the Lodger, the little bee." Now, isn't that a lovely story?
Disgrace.
And now, I expect some of us are feeling like bed.
Speak for yourself.
So here's a good night song from the Pixie Hot Muffin Songbook for Swinging Tinies.
No wonder this show's getting a bad name.
A soldier came a-wooing, all he had was half a crown. I said, "There's nothing doing, so it's not worth sitting down." With a rifle, 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 please. A sailor came a-calling, all he had was 6 and 8. I said, "It's too appalling, will you kindly shut the gate?" With a rifle, 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 deep. A peddler came a-peddling, and of money he had none. "Of course we're nearly starving, but we have a lot of fun." With his rifle, 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 dee. With his rifle, 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 rifle,
dee. Once again, all eyes turn to my amazing pull-out supplement. And on page one, we find the Earl of Shotterly waiting to show us round his aristocratic home.
Guys, welcome to Talpurgis Hall. In the limited time at my disposal, I shall try and describe something very precious to me. I've recently had it restored. Yes, and it now hangs in all its former glory in the main hall. It's a portrait of the Duchess of Cheddar, a woman of voracious appetite, known locally as the Cheddar Gorge. Yes, for the Duchess was painted by an Italian, Paolo Graffiti, whose work is on the walls of some of the finest buildings in Europe. Lovely, lovely. It's in this painting. What is it, Figgy? I can't, not now.
And seeing in the pink, drawing room.
Tell her I'm in the middle of my discourse. Yes, I'll be up in a minute. Don't be impertinent, Figgins. Where was I? Oh, yes. In this painting, the Duchess is shown to great advantage as a wood nymph. A wood nymph celebrating the arrival of spring with a lusty shepherd lad who's inviting her to sample his luncheon basket. Yes, she's asking if the grass is damp, understandable, because she's only wearing a garland of sweet peas and a picture hat. When we had her cleaned recently, something very interesting come to light. The words, "Kilroy was here," in a most singular place, on that tree in the background.
I'm sorry, my lord, I'm afraid it's time for you to close.
Close? I'm not a four-ale bar. I'm a belted earl.
In that case, my lord, belt up.
How dare you? I'm Lloyd George, with my father and my father-in-law.
Page 2, Correspondence Corner.
For some weeks, I have been cleaning my teeth with a mixture of ground-up pumice stone and sulfuric acid. I now realize that this was a mistake. What can I do?
You'll just have to grit your gums and accept the situation.
I have just passed my test. Does that mean I can now go and try it on the motorway?
I'm toying with the idea of having my head removed. The thing is, I wouldn't be able to see if it suited me, would I?
Besides which, how would you smoke your pipe?
Ah, well, I've had some thoughts about that, you see.
I don't think I want to hear them. Any more letters?
My kiddies are having a birthday party, and I thought I'd serve a nice mousse with jelly.
What's the problem?
What do I do with the antlers?
Time now for a new spot in our program entitled Vardaying Back, in which famous personalities recall their early days in their chosen career.
Oh, hello, I'm Marvello, mind reader, and this is my glamorous assistant, Wanda.
Oh, hello.
Wanda, but you're a chap.
Ah, he spotted my little gimmick.
I'm not surprised. I said you shouldn't have worn your airy Aris.
Did you always want to do what you're doing now?
Yes.
Especially him. He's got the show business background,
oh,
haven't
I have.
You?
Yes, I have.
Yes,
definitely.
Used to be with the circus.
Oh, yes, I
circus.
Did. Yes, I have definitely got the background, you see.
Yes.
I was born on the high wire, actually. Mm. Luckily, there was a safety net.
Yes. Say that again. Sawdust in his blood. And spangles in his navel before he was two. Mm. Before, and all his friends were circus folk.
All my mates.
Yes, all his mates. Well. Justin, Marlon and Clint.
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 Mm. Clint was the ringmaster. Oh, yes. Definitely, it was Clint what first really attracted me to the life. Mm. Because I was a clown for
a while. Oh, he was a good clown. Oh, he was a good clown. Not so much your cocoa, more your drinking chocolate.
What?
He'd turn his hand to anything.
And
he
did.
And did. Mm. Used to put your head in the lion's mouth, didn't you?
Head
in the lion's mouth. Or was it the other way around?
Then, of course, I was a strong man for a week.
Strong man he was.
Yes. Mm. Tearing telephone books in half.
Mm.
Used to take me hours, it did.
Yes, page at a time. Then one day, his whole career crumbled.
Yeah.
Tell him for why.
Oh, I couldn't.
Tell him for why.
Go
on, get it out.
Painful.
He's better for you.
No, no. All right, then. Well, it was a Saturday night, you see, and the death-defying Stromboli, who died from 200 feet through six fiery hoops into a bucket of water, he'd gone down with a sick headache. And Clint asked me to step into his place.
Picture the scene, mm. The sawdust ring,
sawdust.
The spotlights picking out the lonely figure in salmon pink tights. Mm. Yes, 200 foot up on a narrow platform, thousands of white eeks looking up at him. Oh, the fiery hoops, the drums rolling, the moment of truth had come. Would he do it? Would he dive? Would he?
No, I wouldn't.
Why not? Was it the fiery hoops or the fearful drop?
No, no, it wasn't that. It wasn't nothing.
Go on,
no,
tell him. Tell him.
Oh,
tell him why you
no,
wouldn't
I can't,
die.
I can't bring myself.
Tell him.
I can't bring
myself. Go on.
Well, I just had my hair done.
Time now for music lovers to switch off, if they've got any sense. Because it's Peter, Paul and Mrs. Nosepoltic.
Hello.
Hello.
Nice to see you guys.
Are you ready to delight us with another snatch of your traditional folk harmony?
No, we was going to sing.
Well, that'll have to do.
Yeah, it's a song what we learned from a gold prospector who was claiming his stake in a cafe just outside Cletho.
I can hardly wait to hear it.
Good.
When I was bound apprentice on a telephone exchange, a lady kept on ringing up and acting very strange. She said,
"Oh, operator, I just don't know what to do."
I asked her what she wanted and the lady answered,
"You."
The supervisor said to me,
"I'm getting quite enraged. The next time that your lady rings, I'll tell her you're engaged. We're running an exchange and not a marriage bureau."
Then me buzzer started buzzing and the lady said,
"Hello."
Well, after several weeks I got as nervy as could be, 'cause every time I got a call a voice would say,
"It's me."
I said, "Why don't you marry her? She's ruining your life."
And that's how both of us found romance.
And how I lost me life.
And now, it's time for our groovy movie presentation. This week, the story of a woman who lived to dance. Isadora!
Isadora Bloomflannel from Hackney Wick. Ah, who remembers her now?
Well, I don't.
Neither do I.
Me neither. It's a bit awkward, that, isn't it? I tell you what, let's not do that one. Let's do the Hasty Heart. I can play the Richard Todd part. Fancy myself in a kilt.
Oh, yes, and I can play the nurse.
Yes.
And I can play the jungle.
Hang on, hang on. I remember Isadora.
Oh.
Yes. Dear Isadora, the years roll back to 1907 when I first saw her dancing down the street.
Tra-la-la, tra-la-la, tra-la-la. I'm free, I'm free.
You can't say fairer than that.
Dear, aren't you Isadora, my dear?
How did you know?
There's something about you. I think it's that sandwich board. Yes, Isadora Bloomflannel freestyle dancing lessons. Would you consider brushing up my hokey-cokey?
Oh, certainly. Fling aside your trammels and follow me.
Right.
He flung aside his trammels and his trousers fell down. Paris Sing-Along, for it was indeed the wealthy heir to the Sing-Along rowing machine fortune, took Isadora to his palatial bedsitter in Putney. There he showered her with gifts.
2 dozen long-stemmed shovels, a diamond-studded pogo stick, a device for removing horses' hooves from Boy Scouts, and an elastic-sided nose-cosy. Oh, Isadora, I'm pleading.
And I wish you wouldn't. I can't stand the sight of blood. Very well, Paris. I shall.
She loved berries in the springtime. She loved berries in the fall. She loved berries. Oh why did she love berries? Because he was loaded, that's why. Onions, ripe onions, gaze off wheeling bicyclette. Onions, get your onions here.
Then came the day of their first quarrel.
Isadora, for heaven's sake, must you keep dancing, dancing, dancing? All the time is dancing, dancing. Can't you ever stop? After all, we are in bed.
Well, a woman lives to dance, to laugh, to laugh.
All right, but let's have a bit less of the dancing and the laughing.
Oh, certainly not. Oh, Paris, I want to teach thousands of children to dance. Give me something to open a school.
He gave her a jimmy. Then left her. Isadora embarked on a grand tour of capital cities, attempting to forget.
People of Berlin!
And succeeding. On and on she pirouetted, dancing her way across Europe. Everywhere she went, men toasted her.
Why not? She's a lovely piece of crumpet. Oh, Isadora, come to Russia, where the men are men, and so are the women.
Will you give me 1,000 children?
I will do what I can. In Russia, we crave culture. All our leaders talk a lot of bullshit.
So I've heard. Very well. I will come to Russia.
Hey!
At this point, I, Douglas Smith, BBC announcer par excellence.
He's off again.
Step forward to play the part of the city of Moscow.
Oh, dear.
At the moment, I'm in the grip of a hard winter, and brawny women are sweeping snow off my gawky prospect. In 1812, Napoleon retreated from me.
The wisest thing he ever did.
Yes, I play Moscow. Mm-hmm. In the interest of verisimilitude, I've stuck gold-plated onions on my head and sat in the fridge for 3 days.
Hard luck, mate. She's going to Leningrad.
Hey!
She was given a gutted Tsarist palace, since the gutted Tsarist wasn't using it anymore. There, her terpsichore was unbounded.
Oh, that's a bit more comfy.
And she met the great Russian poet who was to be the love of her life, Ivan Ivanovich Volchanikov Brezhnev Kravnichovsky Rafferty.
The people's flag is deepest red. Violets are blue. I think I'd like to go to bed. How about you?
Bolshevik saucepot. Oh, Igor.
Ivan.
Don't split hairs.
I'm sorry, it's a nervous habit.
Isadora, there is something else you should know about me. I'm a manokleptiac.
You mean kleptomaniac?
No, I go into supermarkets and leave things. Isadora, your dancing school will be a success.
I don't think so. Already we're running short of funds. Come, children, let us huddle round this blazing brassiere for warmth.
I think that should be brazier, Miss Sims. I mean, it's hardly like... I do beg your pardon. Times are obviously harder than I thought.
Yes, and you. Ivan! Ivan, you don't help. You're such a spendthrift.
I know. I am forever blowing rubles.
I still think we should have done the hasty heart.
Isadora left Russia. She traveled, dancing wherever she went. She danced through the streets of Rome.
Tra-la! Tra-la-la!
She danced through the streets of Milan.
Tra-la! Tra-la-la!
She danced through the streets of Venice.
Tra-la!
Signorina, allow me to help you out of the water. I am the famous Italian painter Giovanni Topogroppo.
Attracted by the grandeur of his Rococo Palazzo, she moved in with him.
He would cook me the traditional Italian dishes. Lasagna Verdi, pizza napolitana, stivaloni.
Stivaloni? That's Italian for Wellington boots.
Don't have to tell me, dear. I've just eaten one.
There he is, but the sauce... Isadora, Isadora.
I know, I'm just going to answer it.
It was a postman with a huge parcel containing nothing less than the entire Stop Messing About orchestra and chorus, fully resolved to sing their way out of doing a tag to this sketch.
Isadora, we know you're a celebrated ingenue.
All this fuss, oh, please can rustle.
Is that nicely out of you?
And dear Vanessa,
heaven bless her,
if she hadn't done the part, Isadora,
we'd ignore her.
We'd have done the hasty heart.
So ends this week's film adaptation. Hugh Paddick is now appearing in Hair, and it's a vast improvement. The part of Kenneth Williams was played by Robbie, the lovable robot. And Joan Sims was, as ever, a scintillating, shimmering star, stealing the spotlight with her superbly sophisticated style.
Oh, I do wish I'd had to say that. What a super sentence.
All that remains is a word from Mr. Williams.
Fortifications!
That was Stop Messing About with Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddick, Joan Sims, and the Max Harris Group. The script was by Johnny Mortimer and Brian Cook and Miles Rudge. The producer was John Simmons.